Hello, everyone. It's such a joy and privilege for me to worship with you together today. My name is Helen. I serve with Alpha Canada. My passion is working alongside churches across the country, especially our Chinese ministry, to help churches create a warm and safe space that people can bring their very honest questions and to explore faith and life openly and to encounter Jesus for themselves. So, a little bit of background about me. Before I joined Alpha Canada, my background was actually in the business world, consumer goods and fashion industry. I spent years in a career where success was all about the pitch. It was about having the sharpest answers, persuading the client, and closing the deal. To be very honest with you, when I first came to Christ and felt called to share my faith, I thought evangelism worked the same way. It was about sharing Jesus through a perfect theological pitch, winning every debate, and somehow closing the deal on someone's soul. If you're anything like me, that idea of evangelism feels, exhausting and even intimidating. It wasn't until my church ran Alpha and I served as a helper that I realized evangelism actually could look very different. So as we focus on this month's series called Mission, I want to invite you to reimagine evangelism with me. What if sharing faith isn't about having all the answers, or carrying the heavy burden of changing someone's heart, or becoming the perfect Christian? What if God is already at work and He simply invites us to join Him? So today we are going to look at John chapter 4. We are going to see how Jesus modeled evangelism by Himself. Not through a formal sermon, even though He certainly preached elsewhere, but through a dusty well, a very honest conversation, and a simple invitation that ended up transforming an entire village. So if you have the Bible, would you turn with me to John chapter 4? I will read a scripture for you if you don't have the Bible. And you can imagine yourself as a little fly resting on the shade of the well. And you just happen to see the whole scene and hear the whole conversation. Imagine it for a little bit. Okay, this is God's word. John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, "Give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband. If you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband, what you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And then we come to John chapter 4, 27 to 30, another scene. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with the woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to people, "Come, see the man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. And John 4, 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Okay, church, let's dive into the scene. Let's go back to that well, when everything just began. So first, I want you to notice the world this story takes place. This is the first century in the Greco-Roman world, which means water is not something you simply turn on from a tap. A woman coming to the well means carrying a water jar, walking a long and dusty road, drawing water, and then carrying home again. The well is a very ordinary but important place of daily life, a place where people meet, connect, and talk. John tells us that Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. There were actually other routes, and many Jews would take the longer route around Samaria because of the deep hostility between Jewish and Samaritans. But Jesus takes this route intentionally. Well, geographically, he didn't have to, but missionally, he did. And then I want you to notice how many barriers there are between Jesus and this woman. Ethnicity-wise, Jesus is Jewish and she is Samaritan, right? There is a long history of hostility between these two peoples, with significant social and religious separation between them. I want you to know that and keep that in mind. And then social status-wise, Jesus is a respected Jewish man and a rabbi, a teacher, while she is a Samaritan woman with a complicated personal history and a very vulnerable social status, social position. A Jewish teacher engaging a Samaritan woman alone in a public place would have crossed normal social expectation. And then religion-wise, Jewish and Samaritans have big religious differences, including where and how God should be worshipped. In fact, that becomes part of their conversation. So there are plenty of reasons why these conversations should never have happened. And Jesus crossed every one of those boundaries. And look at how he starts the conversation. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. Jesus doesn't stand on a pulpit and give her a sermon. He sits at a well in an ordinary public place and makes a very simple, even vulnerable request. He enters her world. He enters into her world. He creates a space for connection. And something happens in that space. What happens next? The woman starts to ask a lot of questions. How can you ask me for the drink? Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than Jacob? Where should we worship? And Jesus doesn't shut down all her questions. He welcomes the questions. He engages her honestly and speaks truthfully. And at the end of that conversation, here comes this very extraordinary moment. Jesus reveals himself to her as the Messiah. Just think about that for the moment. In John's Gospel, this socially vulnerable Samaritan woman is actually the first person to whom Jesus explicitly reveals himself as the Messiah. Just before this scene, Jesus has another famous conversation with another person. Do you know who? Nicodemus, Israel's teacher. That's how people quote him. And yet, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he didn't explicitly reveal himself. But here, at the well, Jesus reveals himself to this Samaritan woman who even doesn't have a name in the Bible. What a contrast. Well, and then I want you to pay attention to the movement of this scene. There is first a space, and then there is a connection, and then there are questions, and there is a conversation. And at the end of that conversation, she encounters Jesus for herself, as God, as the Christ, as the Messiah. And then let's look at what happens next. What happens next? She leaves her water jar. When she found out here is the Messiah, what she did is she left her water jar. Well, she came to the well for water. But after encountering Jesus, she leaves the very thing she came for and runs back into the town. And then what does she say? What does she say to the people? She said, come and see. That's it. Come and see. And people come. I think this is fascinating. This Samaritan woman is an evangelist. Do you realize that? She's an evangelist. She brought a whole village to see Jesus. Well, but she doesn't go to a seminary. She probably has never attended a Bible study before she did that. She simply tells people what happened to her and invites them to come and see Jesus for themselves. And then John told us what the people say. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So look at this picture of evangelism here. Jesus creates the space. Jesus crosses the barriers, the boundaries, and then the questions opens up a conversation. The conversation leads up to an encounter. An encounter leads to invitation. And then God does what only He can do. He reveals Himself and He transforms hearts. Well, if this is how Jesus makes room for people to encounter Him, what might it look like for us to join him in doing the same? So how do we join Jesus' mission? I wonder how many of you have experienced Alpha before. Could you raise your hand if you have experienced? Okay, great. There are some people, but there are still a lot of people who haven't experienced Alpha. Okay, then for those who haven't, let me introduce you Alpha. And as I do, would you please pay the attention to the kind of space Alpha creates? So what is Alpha? Alpha is an 8 to 11 week journey where people are invited by friends into a welcoming, friendly, safe space to explore the big questions of life and faith, to have very honest conversation about Jesus, and to discover what a relationship with him might look like. That's Alpha. So Alpha began in 1977 at Holy Trinity Brompton, an Anglican church in London. Originally, Alpha was a course for new believers. And over time, Alpha discovered that it could be especially fruitful in engaging people who were outside the church to explore faith. So today, Alpha has grown into a global movement. It was used in 158 countries and 64 languages. Well, in 2025 alone, last year, more than 100,000 courses were run globally, reaching over 2.8 million people. And here in Canada, more than 7,000 courses were run through over 2,800 churches and organizations in Canada. So Alpha is no longer just a course from the church in London. It becomes a way for churches around the world to join God's mission in their own context. So where does Alpha happen? Where does it happen? It could be anywhere. It can happen around tables in church, across a dining table at home, over lunch at work, in the school or university, in the marketplace, or even in very unexpected places like prisons. Because Alpha is not primarily a place, it's a space. A space where people can be welcomed, ask honest questions, explore faith, life, and purpose. But does every Alpha look exactly the same? No. The heart of Alpha stays the same, but the way we create that space can be contextualized for different groups of people and cultures. So you see here, our main Alpha film series for English-speaking communities and Chinese Alpha film series for Mandarin and Cantonese-speaking communities, and next-gen series for Cantonese-speaking young adults, and X Alpha Cantonese teen series for Cantonese-speaking youth, and our latest Alpha youth series for our high schoolers, Gen Z and Gen Alpha people. I see a lot of you here. Different contexts, different expressions, but one heart. The heart is to create a space for people to feel welcome and safe, and then to explore life, faith, and encounter Jesus. So what actually happens in an Alpha? What does it look like? We often describe it with three C's. We call it 3C: connection, content, conversation. Does that sound familiar? First, connection. People share food, get to know each other, and then build a genuine relationships. And then there is content. In each session, people will watch a video or listen to a small talk exploring a foundational topic about Christian life. Who is Jesus? Why Jesus died for us? What is faith? How do I pray? What is the Bible? How does God guide us? Etc. And then conversation. People gather in small groups and have an opportunity to respond, to share what they think, to agree or disagree, to ask questions, and to explore faith together. There is no pressure to have the right answer. The goal is to create a space where people can be honest and where questions are welcomed. At the well, Jesus created a space for connection, and the woman asked a lot of questions. And those questions opens up a genuine conversation. And through that conversation, Jesus revealed who he is. That is what Alpha is trying to imitate from Jesus' way of evangelism. Connection makes room relationally. Content makes room for the gospel. Conversation makes room for questions. And together, they made room for people to encounter Jesus. We create the space and we trust the Holy Spirit to do the transforming work. So what happens when a church keeps creating these spaces over time? How can Alpha bless a church? It can help cultivate a culture of mission, a culture where evangelism becomes normal and not intimidating, a culture of prayer, where we begin asking God who he is already pursuing, a culture of hospitality and invitation, where we make room for people who are not yet part of a church to have a taste of the Christian community without committing to it. And a culture of listening, when questions are welcomed and people are genuinely heard. And something else happens, people grow into leadership. An Alpha guest can become a helper, and then a table host, and then eventually a leader who creates that same space for someone else. So Alpha doesn't bring people into a course. Over time, it can help shape how a church lives on mission. So what does it actually look like for us to join God's mission? Let's come back to the Samaritan woman for a moment. When she realized that Jesus was the Messiah, what was the first thing she did? She left her water jar. Think about that for a moment. She had come a long way in the heat of the day, carrying the jar because she needed water. And getting water was the exact reason she came to the well. And yet, after encountering Jesus, she left the water jar behind. I want to invite you to pause and ponder on this question. What is my water jar? What might be occupying my hands, my attention, or my energy, and keeping me from joining God's mission more freely? Is it a fear of rejection? A fear of failure? A doubt that God could actually use me? Or simply the many things that fill our lives and leave little room for God? And then what did she do? She went away into town and said to the people. What did she say? Was it a sermon? Was it a carefully constructed theological argument? Did she become a perfect Christian first? No. She simply said, come and see. Come and see. She didn't have all the answers. She simply invited people to come and encounter Jesus for themselves. And I think that is good news for us too. We don't need to have all the answers to share the good news. We simply need to make room and say to someone, come and see. So what can we actually do in joining God's mission through Alpha? We can start by first, pray. Who is someone in your life who doesn't yet know Jesus? Who is someone who once followed Jesus but now has walked away? What if you simply started praying for them? Okay, thank you. What if you simply...
Hello?
Yeah, okay. What if you simply praying for them? Pray that God would reveal himself to them. Pray that he would prepare their hearts. Pray for an opportunity to have a genuine conversation about faith. Well, on the right hand is our 1102 prayer card. You can download it for free from our website. You can write down three names and pray for them every day at 1102. This is an initiative based on Luke chapter 11, verse 2, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, the second
What we can do is connect and care. Is there a coworker you care about but have never really taken the time to know personally? Or is there a neighbor you've wanted to invite for the meal for a long time? Or is there a family member you've longed to talk to about faith, but you've never known how to begin? Well, start with friendship. Start with genuine care. Make room for the relationship. You don't have to force a spiritual conversation. Just build a relationship, listen and care, and trust God to open the right moment. And then third, what we can do is invite. When your church hosts Alpha in the near future, think of the people God has already placed around you. Your families, your friends, your neighbors, or your coworkers. And your invitation can be as simple as, come and see. You don't have to convince them to commit to everything. You are simply opening a door for them. And finally, you can serve. When your church runs Alpha, there are many ways to join the team. Chef, greeter, MC, AV, table host, helper, intercessors, name them. Alpha is a teamwork. There is room for different gifts and different ways of serving. Okay, now, there is actually one part of John 4 that we skipped earlier, which is verses 34 to 38. While the Samaritan woman is going back to the town, Jesus is having another conversation with his disciples. And I love this because it feels as though the mission is happening right in front of them. And then Jesus pauses to teach his disciples how to see it. Listen to some of his words. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Friends, what do you hear in these words? What I heard is, first, God initiates the mission. Jesus says he has been sent by the Father. He's doing Father's work. So this isn't even Jesus' own independent mission. And it's definitely not ours. It is God's mission. It is God's. And then second, Jesus tells his disciples to lift up their eyes and see the harvest. The harvest is already there. The disciples are being invited to see what God is already doing. And third, one sows and another reaps. Which means we don't have to do everything. Someone may have planted a seed before we ever met that person. Someone else may have watered it. God may have been working in that person's heart for years. And then at some point, we get to enter into their labor. That's what it means to join God's mission. We don't create the harvest. We join the one who has already been at work. Well, before they close, let me tell you Henry's story. In a private school in Fredericton, a Hong Kong international student named Henry was invited by his classmates to Alpha. The school even created a separate space for the Hong Kong international students to use the Alpha Cantonese Teen Series Acts, so they could explore faith in a context that was familiar to them. And then during one session, Henry noticed that the doctor who was interviewed in the Alpha film was actually his family doctor back in Hong Kong. That's crazy. Well, but he didn't become a Christian through the Alpha. And that's okay. Well, sometime later, his classmates, Jesse, invited him to Alpha again, and this time with his friends using the Alpha Youth series, a different series. And around that time, Henry had broken his elbow playing volleyball. And one day after the Alpha session, Jesse felt God prompted him to pray for Henry's elbow. So he asked Henry if he could pray for him, and Henry agreed. So Jesse prayed once. Nothing happened. Jesse prayed a second time. Still nothing happened. And Henry was getting frustrated. And Jesse also felt pretty awkward. But still, Jesse asked, "Can I pray just one last time?" And after that third prayer, Henry moved his arm, and the pain was gone. He was so shocked that he started to doing push-ups right there on the floor and jumping around in the hallway. Well, shortly after, Henry gave his heart to Christ. But what I love about this story is this. Henry's journey didn't happen through one perfect alpha or one perfect conversation or one perfect evangelistic moment. God was patiently working through a series of ordinary spaces, friendships, conversations, prayers, and invitations. Henry's classmates joined God's mission by inviting Henry. The school joined God's mission by creating a space where Henry could explore faith in his own heart language. And then Jesse joined God's mission by stepping out to pray even when it felt uncomfortable. It is God who initiated this whole storyline, inviting people to join him and patiently weaving all the moments together until Henry encountered him. That's what I mean. God initiates, God transforms, and we join him by making room. We make room for connection. We make room for questions. We make room for conversations. We make room for the gospel. And we make room for people to encounter Jesus. So friends, to close my part, I want to invite you into a prayer time. A prayer time that is a little bit different from probably most of your other prayer experience. This is an Alpha style prayer. We will spend some time to invite the Holy Spirit to talk to us. I believe God has so many things want to talk to each one of us. And then we will spend some time in silence to listen if God has ever shared any words, image to you, or prompt any names into your mind. Sounds good? Okay, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Please fill this room. And Father, we are here. Please speak to us, each one of us. I want to invite you to ask these questions to God and see if He wants to tell us anything. Is there any water jar that He's inviting us to leave behind? What is the water jar that I need to leave behind? And what is my well, the place where God has already placed me? What is the conversation? Who is the person God may already be drawing near?
what is my invitation? Who could I simply invite to come and see? Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are the one who initiated. You are the one who pursues people. You are the one who connects. You are the one who welcomes any questions. And you are the one who patiently weaving everything together. And you are the one who invites us to join you. I pray that this will be only a starting moment, that you'll start to teach us, guide us, reveal to us, encourage us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to join you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.